Welcome back, everybody. We are coming your way live today for the next 2 hours and 30 minutes from the Shack here at Cimarron. In fact, we've been broadcasting live from the Shack for over a month now. This is our first time out here on the covered patio, and we're so excited because today we get to kind of bridge the gap between the Shack Slice and Brews and the Shack Wings and Brews. That's right. We are here, and we're with you, and loving the view, loving the fact that we get to be outside today, and also loving the fact that we're part of the happy hour specials going on till 7 o'clock Monday through Friday. Half off shareables like the green chili beer cheese, the buffalo sprouts, shishito peppers, and cheesy bread. Half off wine by the glass, dollar off all draft beer. And speaking of beer, it is Shacktoberfest, Adrian. Shacktoberfest kicked off 6 days ago. We've got all the beers and vibes going through the 5th of October. So love the fact that Shacktoberfest is happening with us here today.
I love Shacktoberfest. This kind of makes me think of like Sam Adams or Shaquille O'Neal, like, yeah, one of the two. Shacktoberfest sounds great. We've got the Ryder Cup going on right now. Go Team USA. I am totally rooting for America this weekend and in the biggest way possible, even though they've got one of the biggest, he's not like a villain, but he's kind of a heel. Bryson DeChambeau, but the Ryder Cup is going on right now in New York. We're watching it out here at the Shack, and then we're also getting ready for college football tonight. There's a couple games of college football tonight, so it should be exciting to watch some of these matchups take place. But the Shack is where it starts, is where we're at today, and if you're looking for a spot to watch some of the games this weekend, whether they're college football all day tomorrow or NFL on Sunday, this is the place to be. The Shack Wings and Brews and Slice and Brews here at Cimarron and all their locations across town.
So happy you mentioned that, because you're exactly right. So many good things going on sports wise this weekend. Oh my god, we start talking about the Ryder Cup, and that was huge. In fact, I believe right now the U.S. is down 3-1 after day one. So they've got work to do to try to come back out at Bethpage Black in Long Island and win this thing. Meanwhile, I'm looking also, we got Rhinos tickets just for stopping by the show today. That is great news. We've got all sorts of other goodies going on over the next few hours as we get you ready to go on a Friday. The game last night, I watched it. Seattle. Man, Seattle's just off to a good start. They really are. They've figured out ways to, ways to get it done. And like last night, just when you thought Arizona had come back to tie the game, a bad kickoff, and that doomed them, because that gave Sam Darnold enough room to work with, get into field goal range, and all of a sudden, a little redemption for the Seahawks, considering their field goal kicker had missed previously. So there's one way for it to end the right way, and the Seahawks getting it done in a busy way. Hey, we got the Miners tomorrow, so let's talk about this too. UTEP football, Miners, La Tech, that's going to be big. Sal Montes is our third member of our broadcast crew today. He is back right now at the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. Look, say what you want about the Miners and UTEP Athletics, all right? Say what you want, and I get it, and a lot of it is definitely justified, all right? The uniforms they're going to wear tomorrow are my new all-time favorite UTEP uniforms, and I'm talking any sport, any style, period. Like, how it took so long for anybody to figure out that a very simple white helmet with the Columbia blue and orange stripe, and I'm not talking about the Tennessee orange, I'm talking about the old school orange, combined with those classic 88 UTEP jerseys that they still have that they're going to wear. What a look. And by the way, every single person on social media that has responded, and I'm not just talking about El Pasoans, I'm talking about national college football handles that have seen these jerseys, everybody loves them. Loves them. So, I don't know how many people are going to be there tomorrow. Could be a very small and intimate gathering. Maybe it's larger than we think because it's homecoming, and that'll bring out some extra fans. But one thing's for sure, the uniforms they're going to be wearing tomorrow will no doubt be the most popular and probably long-awaited jersey combinations we've seen in a while. And some fans might say, nah, who cares? It's about what you do on the field. Oh, I agree with that. I agree. But you got to look good, and this team definitely will be looking good tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess I put way too much stock in this one for myself, Steve, because I am in the firm conversation, like you just alluded to, of the people who, regardless of what the outcome is, UTEP already won because of those uniforms on the field. They're already winners in my book, and they won the uniform game. Hopefully you could translate the look good to play good aspect to all of it right there for UTEP's sake. I just love these uniforms. The throwback Pater Pete on the helmets. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen them, check them out. I know Zay was saying a couple weeks ago UTEP's in an identity crisis when it comes to orange, the color orange. This is definitely on the red-orange kind of side of things for the jersey, but I still love it. I really do. And I
old
think
school
that
orange.
Looks great.
Old school orange is the best way to put it. And it's not Tennessee orange. It's kind of the older orange we all grew up with. Look, I never realized it, but, this is my new favorite helmet. And believe it or not, you know what my favorite helmet was before this new one? I loved the matte blue with that giant pickaxe. I thought that was the coolest thing I had ever seen. When they rocked those about, 6-7 years ago, however long it was the first time, and I said, oh, my God, these are the coolest things. Matte blue helmets for UTEP. Are you kidding? Matte navy. It was awesome. But then I saw these, and I just thought to myself, how is something so simple, so incredible? And maybe it is because of the top of the helmet and the blue and orange colors that are on the top with the classic old school Pater Pete logo. It reminds you almost of like the New England Patriots back in the 70s and 80s when they had just the white helmet with the Patriot guy right in the middle, and then they kind of rocked that for so long before they went to the silver look with Brady and Belichick all those years. But, I mean, that's what it reminded me of. I was like, great. Finally, we've got it now. If they play half as good as they look, they're going to be okay tomorrow.
I just feel like if they ever thought about doing a fundraiser or something like that, these helmets, these jerseys would sell off the charts, and they would make record money in terms of what they could auction those off for. I mean, those helmets and those jerseys are exceptional. This is one of those where I wish they could reuse, and the uniforms themselves could propel UTEP to a victory. As crazy as that sounds, that's how I feel.
And by the way, and when it comes to UTEP, I don't pay for much. I would pay for that. Like, if there was a football helmet like that, a replica that they sold at the bookstore, I feel like everybody would be buying those up. They wouldn't be able to keep those things in stock.
Even mini helmets, right? Like, they could just do just mini helmets of the actual helmet itself. They would make an absolute killing. And it's very simple. I think that's what I also like about it, too, is the simplicity of just the UTEP, just the one Columbia blue stripe on it. It almost looks turquoise the way that the colors are clashing, but it's true Columbia blue, and the classic Pater Pete logo ties it all together.
Yeah, it really does. I know Augustine is tweeting us. It's telling that people talk more about the ugly uniforms than the team. Hey, man, these aren't ugly. I'm just telling you. These are sharp, okay? Now, again, I'm sentimental. I love good throwbacks when I see it. I liked it when they threw back to the original orange helmets, but then I saw this white version, and I'm like, oh, these are even better. So, yeah, that's why, to me, and by the way, are we talking more about the uniforms than the team? Yes, we are. They're 1-3. So the fact is, it is kind of sad that I am more excited about the uniform than I am anything else, but that's just kind of how it is. Although Sal is pointing out that UTEP is not the only school with cool-looking uniforms. Sal, you found another school not that far away from here. Matter of fact, it was a former UTEP conference mate that you said is also rocking some cool-looking unis.
Yes, Steve, definitely. And that one is – go ahead and push that mic. There we go. Yeah, push it up. Can you hear me, Steve?
I can barely, Sal. You're not coming in as loud as normal.
All right, there we go. We'll try this one.
There you go. Now that sounds much better.
We're having
much,
microphone
much better.
Issues.
I don't know what other microphone is, but just throw that thing away, man.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone like the old UTEP unis. Now we're going to keep them ones. But
appreciate
Steve,
that.
I just sent it to you right now. Tulane, man, they got some nice ones. They got like that that blue, and the idea popped in my mind because you guys had said turquoise. It was kind of like turquoise.
Yes.
This is like a true turquoise. But you look at the helmets. They got kind of like bluish turquoise-ish helmets with white with white jerseys, and then the helmet matching with the pants as well. So similar to what UTEP's doing. Colors are a little bit off, but the concept and the ideas are similar. The beautiful stripes, the beautiful numbers with a nice outline. Take a look right now when you get a chance. But yeah, UTEP and Tulane, so far, I haven't seen anybody else, their selection for this week. But the threads in my book so far, Tulane and UTEP all the way right now.
What do you think, Adrian?
These Tulane uniforms look awesome. I thought he was going to reference somebody else. And by the way, I see what you're saying in terms of similarities, Sal. The color pops off. They look so nice. Color really, really jumps off the page. And then I love how that green stripe looks in the wave itself. But the other one that I thought you were going to say, Sal, was New Mexico. The Lobos going scarlet in their rivalry game in the battle of I-25 against the Aggies this weekend. I thought you were going to refer to the Lobos, because I was thinking the Lobos uniforms were just as nice. They're really embracing that scarlet red. They're embracing their head coach, Jason Heck, who's, by the way, he did like a pizza luncheon with all the fans who wanted to come out and have some pizza with them this week. He's really inspiring that fan base out there. But these New Mexico unis are also pretty slick. They're all red look.
It doesn't compare to UTEP. I'm sorry, man. It doesn't. And I'm not saying this because I'm biased. No. It's not bad. It's a cool. Listen, if you love Thursday night football in the NFL and you like the whole color match, then yes, I totally agree with that.
Sure.
But, you know, had UTEP ever done an all orange like that, where they went back to the old school orange?
They went all orange, like where the helmet itself was also orange with the classic Pater Pete, but to mix in the white the way that they're doing on that helmet, that's brand new. That's unique.
That's what I thought. All right, listen. It's really stupid that we're talking about uniforms to start the show and not about the game itself. But we did have yesterday Bleed Tech Blue, and we talked a little bit about the opponent, who's very hot. They're 3-1 coming in, Louisiana Tech. Ben Carlisle is from Bleed Tech Blue, the owner and publisher, and you know he told us what to expect. Listen, I mean, UTEP's an underdog. We all want to see them win their first conference game. If that happens, maybe that just takes away a little bit of the taste of last week's loss. And, you know, it starts them off on the right foot in terms of a conference play. But we also know that UTEP's going to have to play just a complete 180-degree game versus what we saw last Saturday.
You know, the thing that just still does not sit well with me from last week when UTEP lost 31-25 is that, yes, the late touchdowns looked good, but let's not forget that ULM, Louisiana Monroe, definitely eased up on the gas pedal late in that game. So the thing that still doesn't stand well with me is that I don't think it was a 6-point game, Steve. It felt more like a 14-point, a 21-point loss for me in that matchup. I want UTEP to start off better. The thing that still doesn't sit well with me from the last game is the fact that they started out so slow. They were down at the half 24-7. Didn't go out into the halftime they were down big time, and they had to really rally back and pull something crazy out in order to stay close in that one. Where are you at with Malachi Nelson? I'm going to put my flag on the side of things, saying that he's their only offense that they're getting right now and generating, and so I'm going to say that they're getting a lot from him right now, despite whether or not you think he's a good quarterback. That's where I stand, is that they rely so heavily on him. They have almost zero run game right now as it stands, so they need all of what he's giving them here in this season.
Well, let's put it this way, okay? Their top two receivers are out. The guy that started a running back is out. The offensive line is a little suspect at times. So all that being said, it's not like he's got a ton to work with. And also, Malachi's been inconsistent. So he's thrown some really bad picks, all right, that have hurt. But I've also seen him put footballs in places that you don't see other guys do. And the arm strength is obviously there. At times with his velocity and his accuracy, he looks like a guy that should be playing at a different level than this. So I feel like right now what Malachi is doing is he is essentially getting experience working with, at times, a subpar supporting cast. And it's a lot to ask of somebody who's never been a starter to try to deliver when he doesn't have everything that he needs to be successful. And now all of a sudden, like, you lose your top receiver and you're going after guy and your secondary guy, your minor back, and now you're having to go after guys that weren't even supposed to be perhaps, you know, playing as much and trying to, and asking them not, you have to produce with them. So that's why, to me, I feel like, you know what, I'm not down on Malachi. He's not the savior. It can't be one person doing everything to try to help this team. They need a team around him, and that's where I'm hoping we'll start to see more of that in the coming weeks.
I don't believe that'll happen. I'm going to go on the other side and say which guy? Because Ashton Emery, we're hearing that he's coming in a little dinged up going into La Tech, so you're relying heavily on Hassan Wilson. Then where are you going to get? Going to get that production, not the wide receiver group that you just outlined right there. It's not going to necessarily be anybody else who's going to necessarily step up in this situation on that offense other than Malachi Nelson, who they're leaning so heavily on, and tomorrow could just be a pass it all over the field, try to get yards that way, and maybe try to mix in the run where you can. But that's the only way I see them getting points on the board. Their defense is going to have to play a great game tomorrow in order for them to win, and then offensively, they're going to have to generate offense outside of Malachi Nelson in order to actually move the ball and score some points.
Yeah, and their defense is going to have to play a great game every week. Let's just be honest, that is the reality of the situation. This is not a one-week thing. This is something that's going to have to be week to week. You're never going to be able to deliver unless that defense is just showing up each and every time. All right, we have arrived, and so has what looks like the biggest calzone I've ever seen in my entire life. In fact, I'm looking inside it, and here's what I see. I see pepperoni. I see jalapenos. I see sausage. I see some ham. I see deliciousness. And that is, and I got to figure out exactly which one that is.
You build your own, my friend.
Is that what we're doing? We've built the ultimate calzone.
They're building this one for us. This was Ivan Tovar's special.
Man.
He'll be joining us at some point. Director of Ops here at the Shack Wings and Brews and the Shack Slice and Brews. This is from the Slice, by the
yes.
way. So I can't wait. You won't. You said all the things you'll be seeing. You're seeing right now. You won't be seeing this one after the break because I'm going to devour at least half of this one right here.
Let me say this. I see a delicious crust with some butter, some Parmesan cheese. It looks like we've got some parsley. It looks like a home run, like a touchdown, as we've been talking about. All right, 20 past the hour. We got Sal back at our studios. We've got phones to get to as well, 505-6009. Let's kick it off right. Charlie One with traffic. And then we're going to take you all the way through till 6:30 live out here, west side of town. It's the Shack Slice and Brews right next to the Shack Wing and Brews. We're on the covered patio as Sports Talk continues.
Let's do it.
Back here on Sports Talk, back live, hanging with you at the Shack Cimarron. Come on down, folks, and join us with you till 6:30. We got Rhino's tickets just for stopping by. Adrian has delivered exactly what he said he was going to do. He is going to town on that calzone, which, by the way, looks just unbelievable. How would you describe it?
Oh, man. It's a little spicy. It's got a kick to it. It's got the Hatch green chili. You know, I got to give the whole team out here at the Shack Slice and Brews and the Shack Wings and Brews so much credit, so many props, because their pizza is one of the best that I have that you can find in the 915. And this is now their pizza, like calzone right here. So it's a little pocket right here that I get a chance to devour.
Yeah.
It's got the blend of pepperonis, salami, sausage, cheese, and then it adds with that hot Hatch green chili. Oh, it's fantastic. I love it.
Man, oh, man. It sounds amazing. I love it, too. I'll be Trust me, I'll be enjoying that shortly. As we go to the phones, two lines are available, 505-6009, our telephone number. By the way, the only advice I give everybody is this. Come hungry when you come to the Shack. Do not come with no appetite, because it's just not fair. That doesn't do it a justice. This place, come here hungry, ready to go, and you will not be disappointed. Let's go to Cruz. He joins us, kicking us off the show on a Friday afternoon on the phones, 505-6009. Hey, Cruz, what's going on, man? How are you?
You guys doing okay there, bud?
Yeah, we're hanging in. Cruz, how about you? What's going on with you? Cruz Missile, what's happening?
I got a couple of things. First of all, I think we ought to beef some Malachi Nelson up a little bit. And at times, you know, when he's got his receivers covered, you know, double coverage, and when he can't find a receiver, I think he should run with that ball, you know, get us some yardage. Many quarterbacks, they make many first downs and a lot of yardage by running when everybody's covered. A lot of times they don't have anybody guarding him. Now, talking about last week, that letdown that UTEP had.
Yeah.
You know, coach and his coaching staff can only do so much to psych those guys up. There's only so much they can do. Most of it has to come from the players themselves. We must always play with a sense of urgency.
Sure. You know,
what the mind can conceive, if the heart will agree, the body will obey. And you've got to learn to maintain that a level mental and emotional playing field.
Cruz, let's do this, because I get what you're saying and I don't disagree with you. But let's take one of the first things you said about bulking up Malachi Nelson, because you said that, right? Now think about this, okay? Where did he start his college career?
Out in California somewhere, I believe.
USC. USC. He was at USC. He played behind Caleb Williams. Where was he last year?
At Boise State.
Correct. If you've spent your first 2 years at USC and Boise State, and this is how you look physically after those 2 years with year three at UTEP, I got news for you, Cruz. He's not bulking up. Point is, he would have done that already. He would have done that after his first year. If he went to USC and saw what Caleb was like and realized, you know what, I got to bulk up, he would have done that. So the truth is, Malachi is not the kind of quarterback who's going to grow and get stronger and start to fill out. He is what he is. He's got a cannon for an arm, but he's thin, and that's not going to change. And if he gets hit, yeah, he could get hurt, because he doesn't, he's not built like a lot of quarterbacks are. So, unfortunately, what you see is what you're going to get. I don't see Malachi Nelson ever changing, Adrian, into more of a stronger, prototypical quarterback like Cruz is talking about.
Yeah, the other part to that is Cruz was mentioning to run the ball, and to just sum up his call, he's not going to run the ball. He isn't that kind of a quarterback. Yeah. Even if he worked on it or if he challenged himself to it, that's not the type of player he is. He is a mobile pocket passing quarterback who is more comfortable throwing outside the pocket or inside the pocket than he is running the football, and that was evident in the way that he slid to just try to get that first down, or he attempted to but didn't end up getting that, and that was this past weekend.
So Cruz, all I can tell you is I agree about the sense of urgency. I do agree about Malachi getting bigger. It's just not going to happen. And, I hope this team comes out with an edge tomorrow. I really do. I hope they come out angry. I hope they hit hard right out of the gate. I hope they try to jump on Louisiana Tech and give and really, you know, show us something. Make it a statement out of the gate, Adrian. That's the key right there.
Yeah, I would say also, I mean, for the Miners, starting off fast is got to be a key. Going down 24-7 just the way that they did against Louisiana Monroe cannot happen again. This defense for Louisiana Tech, you can't take them for granted. They're one of the best scoring defenses you're going to find in Conference USA. And they're tied for first with UTEP, by the way, in sacks. So that UTEP offensive line is going to get challenged.
I've got Fernie and Domingo coming up. We'll do that right after Sal on this bottom of the hour SportsCenter update as we continue live. Appreciate that, Sal. All right, let's go to the phones, 505-6009. Fernie's been hanging tight. We'll get him next as Sports Talk continues. What's going on, Fernie? How are you?
Going I mean, we'll see what they do tomorrow.
What do you think they're going to do tomorrow, Fernie? Give me your best guess.
And, you know, I think they're going to get their butts whipped, right? It's just, because, no, you said football, you know? I mean, I'm like a 7-season ticket holder and all that, I'll be there, but it's just, they don't rise to, UTEP doesn't rise to the occasion. And anything that, any goodwill they had with Texas, where they blew it last week, right? And I just don't think they're gonna do anything. You know, it's just, you're right, it's Malachi, and then, you know, the defense, they were shocking me last week. It's just, you can't predict this team. I could say that Warren, Walden, I like the enthusiasm I liked it the first year, but I mean, that's getting kind of old. It needs to just just run the team here instead of trying to get into everything of the team. You know, I mean, he's all over the field, you know?
So it's an interesting point. It's Fernie, that's a really interesting point. So let's talk about that for a second with you. I mean, Adrian, I get it. Like, when you're winning and you first come here and you throw that kind of an attitude, like, yeah, that's your personality and that's the way you want your team to be, and fans haven't seen that, it's different, it's something that they get kind of to feed off of, that's great. But if you're not winning and it's the same result, but you're still seeing that, I also could see how fans are like, all right, you know what, let's kill the rah-rah act and just win some football games, because that's what fans want. And I know it's about building a culture, and I know it's about building a program, but it's also about winning football games. And if you're not winning, that does not go well with the fan base.
It's great when it's going good, right? It's awesome because you see them jumping on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You see them getting hyped. The coaching staff, the players, they're all bought into that. And the hype is there, right? Like, that's the stuff when it's going well. But when it's not going well, it's the tax you pay, not only from the fan base, from your players themselves. I was looking at the sidelines this past weekend, and there were a lot of bad body language out there from some of the UTEP players and personnel and stuff like that. And it's because they're losing, and it's because they were struggling in that game against Louisiana Monroe. I want to see that sideline look a lot better this week around. And it was the first half. Body language that looks so bad. It looked like they got punched in the mouth and they didn't want to be there. It's tough when your back's against the wall and you're down 24-7 the way that they were this past week.
Fernie, it's so crazy, isn't it? It should have been the opposite, right? They should have gotten demoralized against Texas and then gone back and beat Monroe and have fans excited. But exactly the opposite. They lost to Texas but played them well. And the following week, they did not play well against Monroe, fell behind big, tried to come back. To come back fell short, and now fans all have a bad taste in their mouth heading into this Louisiana Tech game.
Yeah, you know what? It's sort of like the coaching staff. I mean, Walden, it's sort of like bipolar, man. It's just like high and then really low, and I don't think that's a way to function, at least on a coach, as a coach. You know, you have to maintain it. Eventually, if you're going to build a culture, you can't be always rah-rahing, okay? And then, like Adrian was saying, you know, they totally went the opposite last week. So, I mean, yeah, it starts with the coaching. And you know what? I've seen some of the assistant coaches. I mean, they have to buy into this rah-rah thing. And maybe that's not their way of doing things, and they can't coach that way. And maybe, you know, Walden should, you know, he's not calling the play, or he is calling the plays, right, Steve?
Yeah, he's calling the plays.
Yeah, you know what? And that's just if you look at the overall thing, it just means that he has his hands into everything. And I think it's more of a micromanaging kind of thing, you know, micro coaching here. And I think he should let his coaches coach and see what that comes out. But I mean, that's who he is. But you know what? It's not giving us results here. We're going to have about 15,000 people on Saturday. We're going back to last year. What is he going to do? You know, and then it's just disappointing. Guys, we'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. This came in on Twitter. Yeah. Mr. E says, Malachi Nelson is the purest quarterback talent we have ever seen in UTEP football history. They live and die by his play this year. UTEP by 4 tomorrow evening. Hashtag Miners Strong. Keep wearing those unis. Adrian at Enemy Win the number 3. If Nelson can't win, can't win it on his own, then the Miners have no chance.
You know, a lot of people think that. You looked at the Pro Football Focus grades from last week. Malachi Nelson's rating on offense was the highest of any UTEP player.
Yep.
I think it's easy when you're down and all you have to do is throw the ball in those situations, and it's tougher to be in that position. But you heard head coach Scotty Walden earlier this week. He wanted no blame to be on Malachi Nelson after those two interceptions.
Yeah.
He wanted blame pie to go to himself and him to be served that blame pie right there. So if it's Walden who wants the blame and wants to take over that, then he's got to take the brunt when he's not doing it as a play caller. And I don't know if he's doing that right now. It's not just the play calling, Steve. It's the decisions that go on in the games and the timeouts that happen in certain situations. Those are what frustrate a lot of people.
Let's go back to the phones right now. Ruben is joining us next as Sports Talk continues. Ruben, I know you want to get in on this UTEP conversation. Thanks for the call. What's up, Rube?
Thanks for taking my call, first of all, Steve.
Sure thing, man.
Let's talk UTEP football, bro.
Let's do it.
You know, this is the 50th year now for me covering UTEP athletics. And I got to tell you, this year, and I'm going to be honest, I really expected so much from UTEP football this year. Because I totally, 100%, supported Coach Scotty. And I tell you, with what I've seen through the last three games, I'm really disappointed. His play calling is going back to the way it used to be with previous coaches, where you can pretty much sit in the stands and predict what he's going to do. And I think that's unfortunate, you know? I think we have a quarterback that, given the proper scheme to play a game, would benefit so much. So just a couple of things. And again, I'm not a quarterback. I'm not a coach, but I play one on Saturday nights. I would say for coach to give the play calling to somebody else and let him concentrate strictly on what's happening. Let somebody else play call the plays. Number two, speaking as a fan, that big orange UTEP sign that they keep putting up behind the people that are calling the plays or the coaches that are playing, they're calling in the plays on the field.
Yeah.
Trust me, there's no one out there in the stands trying to steal UTEP plays. None. There's no secret hidden mystery guy in the stands. So please, coach, Jim Center, if you're listening, get rid of that stupid-ass sign. I'm sorry. And the last thing, your previous caller said that for the 13,000 people that are going to be there tomorrow, I'm going to correct him. If there's 10,000 people tomorrow in those stands, UTEP's going to be very lucky. And I hope that they're able to pull out a win somehow tomorrow, because if not, those 10,000 fans tomorrow are not going to show up the following week. That's my 2 cents worth. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. Ruben getting in as well as we continue 41 past the hour right now. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, get some more calls. I know Domingo's on the lines. Hey, we're hanging out with you. We're here at the Shack Slice and Brews, enjoying a delicious calzone, enjoying the atmosphere, and getting ready to start the weekend off right. Come on down, folks. It's Cimarron, our location, right out here off Wrestler. You can't miss us. We're going to be here till 6:30 as Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. We have Ivan Tovar back with us, Director of Operations from the Shack Slice and Brews and the Shack Wings and Brews. And great to see you. You brought the calzone. It's staring at me. It's talking to me, Ivan. It apparently didn't talk very much to Adrian because he devoured it in about 30 seconds.
I was worried about him. I thought he was going to choke on that the way he was inhaling the calzone.
Yes. It was fantastic, man.
He's hungry. He is hungry. You got a lot going on out here. By the way, thank you for having us on the patio. Since day one, I've told Adrian, you know what? I want to broadcast live from the patio because we see both restaurants. They connect. We're outdoors. We get a good lookout. I feel like this is the one spot where you really get a good handle on what the vibe's like out here at the Shack.
Yeah, I mean, this is a perfect environment for sports, to watch sports, right? You get the whole environment of actually feeling like you're in, you know, at the stadium or at the game, right? So we have a bunch of TVs out here. Right behind you is the big screen that everybody loves to face. So, yeah, I mean, wherever you sit, you don't have a bad seat.
That's so true. You want to take some phone calls?
Let's do it.
All right. I feel like you've graduated up now to where you can start talking to calls directly. Like John, who's hanging on the phones right now, 505-6009, our telephone number. John, welcome to the show. How are you? John, are you there?
I think already intimidated, John.
We might have lost John. So, all right. Is John there?
Yeah, all right. I'm here. Can you guys
hear me? Hey, John, what's happening, man? How you doing?
Oh, not much. I'm doing okay, considering. So, everything's good.
Good. What do you want to talk about today, John? Because Ivan's ready to talk sports with you.
Okay. Well, a couple of things. First, my buddy, Gator Richard, how do you like those 5 yards of first quarter offense last week?
Yeah, Florida did not have a particularly
good day. To make sure, because, you know, the way he talked last week,
I know.
Trying to sugarcoat.
We haven't heard from him since.
Yeah, he's been out, thank goodness. I know.
I swear, Pop Warner offense could run for more yards than that first quarter. Or any of Billy Eilish's play calling.
Yep, I know it. That's true. It's bad. What do you think is going to happen in the UTEP game tomorrow, John? Let's change the subject and talk about another team that I'm sure is near and dear to your heart, the Miners.
Oh yes, Steve. You know, they're really near and dear. God, probably just as bad as the Gators, let's put it like that.
What are you thinking?
Well, probably another L. We'll see. I mean, you know.
Is it going to be close?
Well, let's hope. Let's hope.
Ivan, here's the thing. John, you weren't at the game last week, were you?
Steve, I haven't been to a game in 20 years, and I don't plan on going.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, not here or there. Steve, real quick, one thing. Baseball for you.
Yes, sir.
To me, AL MVP race over. Cal Raleigh has 60 home runs as a switch-hitting catcher.
Oh, I know. There's no way Cal Raleigh's losing
debate.
This. No. There's no debate.
You cannot give this to Aaron Judge.
Yes, I am with you 100%. Could not agree with you more, my friend. Could not agree with you more. So, anyway, good job, John. It's good to hear your voice, man. Appreciate the phone call. All right. Are you ready for Augustine, Ivan?
Let's do it.
All right. Augustine is joining us next on the phone lines. Augustine, what's going on, man? How are you?
Yeah, Ivan's not ready for this. I just got to, you know, tell him that right away. And
you know what's funny about this, Augustine, is I've listened to this radio show for a very long time, and I've heard your calls plenty of times. So let's go.
He is ready for you. I like that. That's it.
Oh, thank goodness I have a fan listening now. So there you go.
let's not get too full of yourself there, pal. What's on your mind today?
Hey, here's my question. Two things. Do you think the coaching staff at UTEP would let Malachi Nelson have the keys to the Toyota? I was going to say the Ferrari, but we know UTEP's not a Ferrari. So the good old Toyota, maybe they'll tailor the offense to his strength, which is actually throwing the ball. And two, and I'll listen to you guys because I know we're close to the top of the hour.
We are.
Yeah. Tell me and tell everybody, Ivan, what is the best way somebody can pig out at the Shack?
Oh, there you
look
go.
Look at you.
Up.
Wow. Augustine sets you up to end the hour.
I love that, Augustine. Two ways. Call the restaurant, or we do all the Ubers, DoorDashes, and stuff like that. So you can do online ordering, or you can call directly to the restaurant, and it'll be the same thing. You pick up or deliver.
Okay.
Give me stuff that I can order in the restaurant that I'm just going to go, oh, wow, this is... Or a combination that you can say, hey, El Paso, come to the Shack, order this, this, and this, and get a 20% discount.
All right, you go. If you go on the pizza side, you got to go New Mexico. And then if you do on our wing side, you get a combination of our wings, whichever sauce you want. But I would prefer our mango habanero or our spicy buffalo. You can't go wrong with those. Man. Both of them have a nice little spice to them.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Pizza and wings. Let's go.
Yeah, can't beat that.
All right. Good job, Augustine. Telling you what, busy end to the hour. Let's talk about what you've got going on this weekend. A lot of great things here. Football. You can watch all your football out here on the patio, inside the restaurants. You've got also Shocktoberfest going on right now, Ivan.
Yeah, we got Shocktoberfest. So we have 350, 450 Oktoberfest. Or on our slice side, we have Mountain West Brewery. We have their Oktoberfest. So, we have that just on Fridays. And then, obviously, Saturday, we have bucket specials here at the Wings to watch all the games. We'll have UTEP, we'll have everybody on, and then of course Sunday, all the beer specials plus all NFL games starting at 11 a.m.
We'll wrap up the hour with this question. Teachers on Friday, give us the big deal and the big special at all the locations for what teachers could capitalize on when they stop by the Shack Wings and Brews or Slice and Brews.
So Friday at both locations, our slices or our wings, we give them 20% off the entire bill. They just got to show their ID that they're actually teachers. And we did that just because, it's been a long week for teachers Monday through Friday. So Friday, we've always seen that they come unwind, and why not be able to support our local community and our local teachers with a long week, and they come in and be able to unwind and get 20% off their bill.
Excellent. Ivan, always great. You handled Augustine like a pro. He surprisingly teed you up well, too. So good all the way around. Thanks for having us out here, and can't wait to keep this thing rolling every Friday.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Good seeing you guys again.
You as well. All right. That, again, Ivan Tovar, the Director of Operations, joining us, wrapping up our one. We got another 90 minutes to go with you. Stay with us. Sports Talk continues live from the Shack. Here's Cimarron on the West Side with 600 ESPN El Paso. Hanging out here at the home of Shacktoberfest. It's the Shack, Cimarron on the west side of town, right off Wrestler. Come on down and see us, folks. Cimarron is where we are, along with Adrian Broaddus. I'm Steve Kaplowitz. I'm Montes back at our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. He's producing the show. He's screening your phone calls. I'm watching people eat wings. I'm watching them eat some pizza. It looks good. I see some guy eating a fry. That looks pretty tasty, too. Very nice.
You like that one.
I like it, too. It was the fry looked good. It was not easy to get down, but he got that thing down pretty good. Hey, we got Shacktoberfest going on right now through October the 5th out here, and great specials, and we've got the girls dressed in their Shacktoberfest costumes as well. Plus, it's Friday, happy hour. A lot of great things happening here at the Shack.
Yeah, if you're an educator, a teacher, come out to the Shack. Join us here at Cimarron. Join any of the locations, Wings and Brews, Slice and Brews. They have the great deal of 20% off your entire meal. Bring your school ID. Let them know that you're a teacher. Let them know that you heard them on Sports Talk and you're there to take advantage of 20% off your total bill. That's happening at all locations out at the Shack. So great stuff right there.
Really great stuff. All right, let's go to the phones, folks, and start it off with Domingo, who's been hanging on forever. 505-6009, our telephone number. Domingo, what's going on, man? How are you?
How you doing, Cabin? I hope you had a happy Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you, my man. It was good. Very nice. Appreciate that. How was your week?
Well, fine. You know, I've been very busy getting ready for tomorrow's game.
Yep, I'm sure you have.
Good. Yeah, and also, it's been a crazy week in the sporting world.
It's always a crazy weekend. It's always a crazy weekend. I get you.
Have you seen my ex post? It's been a lot. I've been posting a lot. From the fire of Mike Gundy, Ron Bunn's sudden resignation, and the biggest one in soccer, the Malaysian national soccer team, nationality scandal.
There's nothing like controversy out of Malaysian soccer. I mean, if that is not a story to at least start off our 5 o'clock hour of the program, I don't know what is. So I'm happy you brought that up, Domingo. That is terrific.
Yep, and don't forget, we're going to have a big weekend of sports. America Pumas, the Clásico Capitolino, college football, including UTEP, and last but not least, like I always say, once every odd month, sumo! It's going to be good.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm happy for you. I mean, the fact that you love sumo so much that you just want to keep promoting it on this radio show, I think that's great. So I'm down with that, man. Good for you. I'm happy you're who's the top favorite in the sumo world right now? Who is it? Because I don't know.
Well, it is neck and neck between Hoshoryu and Onosato. Onosato's 12-1, and Hoshoryu 11-2. We'll see what happens on Sunday morning. Who will win the Emperor's Cup? And by the way,
there's one more. What else? What else you got? You got more? What else is it? What else do we have?
Don't forget, on Sunday we're definitely gonna have NFL, and I hope my Cowboys will win against that traitor Micah Parsons. We're gonna win. I promise you that.
How is Micah Parsons a traitor for wanting out of Dallas after Jerry Jones did not want to give him a new contract, but he gave everybody else on that roster a new deal? How does that make Micah a traitor?
That's my view. That's just my figure of speech.
But you gotta give me an answer, man. I want a response. I want the answer. You threw out a hot take. You called Micah a traitor. Give me a reason why he's a traitor.
Let's see. He decided to leave Dallas for another team. That's all I'm going to say. But I'll be honest, I barely watched one Dallas Cowboys game this season because of work.
That's great.
But
you know, between you going to one game, watching one game so far out of three, and John, who hasn't been to a UTEP game in 20 years, feel like, you guys maybe need to get back
experts,
a little bit.
The experts back here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, all right, Domingo, be good, my friend. Good to see you. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the time, man. Thanks for the call. We'll see you tomorrow at the UTEP game, I'm sure. Domingo will be out there checking that out. 505-6009, that is our telephone number as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009. Jose getting in on the program. Dang, we really are a bunch of UTEP haters, he tweets. But tomorrow, when they win, Everyone is a loyal fan again. Trust the process, says Jose.
You know, it would be the most UTEP thing ever, Steve, after the whole week everybody's down on UTEP, that they come right back up and then they win this game on Saturday. That would be the most UTEP thing ever, for them to just turn things around when everybody's doubted them out.
Is that an AI graphic he used? Because those players don't even look real. They
that
look like
AI.
They're AI generated.
I like it. The AI generated post by Jose there. Good stuff.
He also has UTEP winning 31-21. Jose, from your mouth to God's ears, that would be terrific. We're excited about that. Anyway, listen to this. So apparently, this is from Mr. E. He wants to know, Cap, is UTEP football getting involved in the Ernie Powers sweepstakes? What a great talent. And then he tags us, 600 ESPN El Paso. Now, Ernie Powers is part of the class of 2026. He is a senior out at Franklin. He is a running back. And by the way, he's got four D1 offers. Is UTEP one of them?
Yeah, and he just actually had his official visit to UTEP this past week. I would say of all the D1 offers he's got, UTEP is probably the biggest. So the other offers he has, much smaller schools when you compare it to UTEP. Steve, I was at the Sun Bowl last night. I was at the Westside Bowl.
Are these numbers real?
Let me tell you the numbers themselves.
I mean, I'm looking at Ernie's numbers. Is that real?
Oh, he had 7 touchdowns last night and 388 on the ground.
Oh my! I'm looking at this going. You got to be kidding me.
Wait, Steve. He has 28 total touchdowns right now, as it stands. 28. He can shatter the all-time city rushing touchdown record this year, which was held by Aaron Dumas, who had 36 when it was all said and done back in 2020 or 2019. We'll get Paul McKinnon on some Football Friday Night later on to verify. But Ernie Powers is chasing history this season for El Paso High School running backs. Last night, 7 total rushing touchdowns against the Coronado Thunderbirds. After the first half, he had 3. And I was like, wow, what a game. Like, they just sit him for the rest of the matchup. Then he finished off the game with 4 more. Just amazing, man. This guy is outstanding. I saw the lights on in the Larry K. Durham Center, a.k.a. some of the coaches stuck around. I'm sure they were watching Ernie Powers from upstairs.
He also has an offer from Lehigh University. That was the offer before UTEP. And then there's two other schools that have also offered Ernie from Division I scholarships. But as you said, UTEP is still the biggest of the group when it's all said and done.
Yeah, the other thing is I wouldn't be surprised once the first Power Four school offers him. And once they do, it'll be like a domino effect. Everybody else will start to offer him. He's right there. He's at the bubble. He might be one of the most best kept secrets out there as far as prospects go.
Air Force, by the way.
But Steve, his brother went to Army. So
he's got Navy.
So they've had experience of having like brothers and family in the in the service academy, and I'm not trying to knock those offers right there, but it's completely different than scholarship. It's completely different than a place where you can maybe capitalize on some NIL dollars. And again, his older brother Steven played for Army, so I'm not trying to minimize it. Powers family has a lineage of playing at that next level. No Powers brother or Powers family member has actually played at UTEP though, so he could be the first.
Before we go to Rob, who's on the lines, let me ask you this. Is Ernie Powers best, would you call him, I don't want to say he's a pop-up prospect, but do you get what I'm saying? Like, heading into this year, he really wasn't on the radar of a lot of people in this city and wasn't being talked about. Now, all of a sudden, he is, because he's putting up video game numbers so far in high school football.
Yeah, fastest rising prospect you're going to find of the senior class, for sure. Catapulted this year, but was definitely under the radar going into this year. And he's benefiting off two guys up front who are going D1 as well, right? I mean, we always talk about Justin Morales, who's going to be playing football at Kansas State. That's who's blocking ahead of him and paving the way. It's not all just Justin. A lot of that is Ernie Powers. I'm not trying to minimize what he's done this year, but at the same time, we'll have to see what, you know. It's a perfect running back for an offense that can sustain this kind of running impact, because they've got two guys up front who could go D1 as well.
Meanwhile, as far as Franklin goes, that game was so lopsided. And from what everybody has told me, the issue with Coronado simply is their O-line, that West does not have time to do anything because the O-line just is not protecting him.
Yeah, 59-7 was the finish. Coronado, the first half wasn't as bad, if you can believe that. But the offense just could not generate points. Every time they drove it into the red zone, they would stall. And that's a credit to Franklin's defense. But at the same time, there's a talent drop-off at Coronado. They've got maybe five guys who are super, super talented and can be on the field, and the other guys is just trying to get along, trying to get through that. So they lack that depth this year with the squad.
All right, let's get right back to the phones as we continue here on Sports Talk. And Sal, appreciate all the help on Mr. Ernie Powers. Let's go to Rob. He joins us next, 13 past the hour, 505-6009. Good call volume today on the show. We appreciate that. Rob, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm getting ready to have I'm excited for the Padres to rip my heart out this year again, but yes. I'm here for it. Wanted to talk UTEP. I wanted to talk a little bit. You guys talk about the Franklin running back, and then Scotty Walden this week came out with a quote, and he said, "We can't panic. We got good running backs. We just got to get them in rhythm." And that's been like the biggest problem is since he's been here, is he's recruited really well in certain areas, but and it's pretty obvious the last 2 years they haven't really addressed the O-line. And if it doesn't matter if you have Aaron Jones back there, if you don't have anybody to block from, it's not going to matter who your running back is. And I don't get excited about the skill signings anymore, because I've always, since last summer, I haven't seen a good offensive line play. And you saw it this past week. At one point they had 33 yards on 26 carries, and I'm just starting to wonder, like, when is Walden just gonna say, hey, you know what, we don't have it this year. Malachi's got an arm, like, we need to play to our strength and let him sling it. I feel like the coaching staff let the game get away from them a little too much last week, and they played catch up a little too late. I do like the game plan they had with UT Martin. They were very dynamic. But I would feel like the last 2 weeks it's been very run heavy. It doesn't work.
Yes.
And I feel like there's no, like, it's like this staff doesn't have a plan B if the run game's not working. And that's very concerning to me, considering I think Louisiana Tech is better than Louisiana Monroe. And I just hope that they didn't bring Malachi Nelson over here just to hand the ball off. That's frustrating to me. And that between that and just that debacle with Shea Smith, it didn't look like he was even ready to go in. The whole stadium knew he was going to run the ball, and it was just very unorganized. And it seems kind of messy at this point. And I really hope they get it together, because we got a better team coming in town tomorrow, and they're going to spank us if we play like that. And I don't want to see that, man.
Rob, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Let's unpack Rob's call for a second and discuss some of the things he mentioned. First off, with the offensive line. I feel like Scotty Walden's recruited to the offensive line the last 2 years. The problem is they're all high school kids. They really haven't gone deep and heavy in the portal to try to bring in maybe experienced Division I transfers to play in the O-line. It's more of the high school developmental prospects. And I always feel like of all the positions to try to plug and play a high school player as a true freshman, offensive line is the toughest.
Well, are you alluding to the fact that the O-line's a problem for the run game? Is that what you're kind of trying to say right
here?
Well,
the O-line has not really helped Malachi either at times, and they've given up some sacks. And it, I mean, you think about it, okay, if the run game is not working, it's either the running backs aren't good enough or the offensive line is not getting the job
well,
done.
Well, I actually might say that the running backs might not be good enough. Like, think about this, Steve. They didn't go with a true running back this year. They went with Cam Thomas, who plays this hybrid role of wide receiver running back. He was their starting running back going into the year before he was out for the year with a torn ACL. Now they're having a role with Ashton Emery, who's had zero experience practically. He just spent through last year being a redshirt. And then Hassan Wilson, who did it at Charlotte, which is a bad football team, like
yes.
A bad football program. So they might not have it there. And then the wide receivers, you relied so heavily on Cam Thomas and Kenny Odom, and both of them are out right now.
Right.
Maybe you get Kenny Odom back tomorrow, which could be a huge help. But beyond that, they don't have depth in their wide receiver room. That was my issue going into the year for UTEP, is they didn't go out and get a lot of guys at the receiver position who are proven. They got guys out of the portal, younger guys who want to bounce back after going high-level D1, but it just never worked out for them. So I kind of go back to this, and I liken this to maybe they don't have the skill positions around players around this team, and despite the offensive line being what it is, they just don't have the skill guys to actually do it. A lot of people talked about the drops last week. That's kind of what it felt like.
I saw enough of Hassan Wilson in these last couple of weeks to think that if he got a little running room, he could run the football.
Yeah, he could break away. He's still averaging, what, like 7 yards a carry?
Yeah.
So, I mean, give him more of a shot, but these like 9 carry a game, that's no running back in rhythm. So you're just judging him on a small sample size, good or bad. And then conversely, for UTEP and what Rob was saying about Shea Smith, I mean, like it or not, Steve, Shea Smith's the future. I mean, I truly believe that. Like, maybe they keep Chad Warner in their group one more year, but they're going to probably get another transfer quarterback in if Malachi Nelson transfers out, which we always think, like, after a year, it's hard to retain some of these high-level guys. No Skyler next year,
right.
Assumedly, here in this kind of situation. Then no Cade. He's obviously graduating. So you get a new transfer quarterback in to battle against Shea Smith, and that's your quarterback room for 2026? Probably. That's me just playing hypothetical guess.
No, I agree with you on that one. I'm checking the app right now. Here's what's coming in. First down dash gets in on the app. With those unis, expect UTEP to win 38-24. Sports Talk Carlos, when are you guys going to put a sumo expert on your show for an interview?
We need one. The demand is there.
Well, it is. I mean, I feel like the sumo expert is Domingo right now, right?
Yeah, he's helping us out with all of it.
Knows more than any of us, that's for sure. All right, 20 past the hour as Sports Talk continues live from the Shack. Slice and Brews in the Shack, Wings and Brews. We're out here on the patio. Come down, check us out. We got Rhino tickets just for stopping by while they last. We'd love to have you join us, folks. Happy hour till 7 o'clock with half-off green chili beer cheese, buffalo sprouts, the shishito peppers, and also cheesy bread, plus half-off wine by the glass and dollar-off all draft beer till 7 o'clock tonight. It's Monday through Friday happy hour, 3 to 7 out here at the Shack. We'll get to Luis coming up right after Charlie 1 with this traffic update. Back here on Sports Talk, 25 past the hour. Hanging with you live, the Shack. Slice and Brews, the Shack Wings and Brews, the Covered Patio, the Turf, the sports games right now, the TVs, Shacktober, and Shacktoberfest. Everything going on with us out here at the Shack.
Yeah, and teachers get 20% off. Just come by, mention that you heard us on Sports Talk, and show them your valid ID. It's every Friday, by the way, so all locations of the Shack, Slice and Brews, Wings and Brews, present your valid teacher ID and take advantage of 20% off your purchase.
Man, I love that. All right, we got two lines available, 505-6009. That is our telephone number. Let's go next to Luis from the east side of town. Luis, what's happening?
Shalom, my brother. You know what?
Shalom, Luis. How are you, baby? Congratulations on winning some Sun Bowl trivia this week.
Two questions about where can I pick up the tickets and what will be my seating? Where at?
Okay, first, listen to me. Slow it down for a second, pal. Number one, I have no idea where your seats are. I can't even tell you that. You could pick up. Here's the deal, and I sent you an email about this. There is a letter you can pick up at the radio station from Bernie Olivas, telling you exactly what date you could start to redeem the letter for tickets at the Sun Bowl office. So come by the radio station anytime starting next week. Ask for me. I'll come out. I'll say hi, assuming I'm in the building. And then you'll get the letter. You'll get the opportunity to go reclaim those tickets. Then you'll find out, because in all honesty, I have no idea where those seats are, because it's a redemption letter, Luis. And then when you bring it by the Sun Bowl office, they'll trade you that letter for a pair of tickets.
Now, who's laughing, Heckle or Jekyll?
It's Heckle.
Okay, Heckle, how are you, man? Okay, let me tell you. Remember that you said, Steve-O, that yes, the Yankees couldn't catch up with the Toronto Blue Jays?
I did. I might be wrong on that one, which is good. I'm happy to be wrong. In fact, I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Is Aaron Judge going to win the MVP?
No, he's not going to win the MVP award. Stop it. They got to give the MVP award to Cal Raleigh. When, you know, a switch hitting catcher who hits 60 home runs? Come on, Luis. That's unbelievable.
No. I agree. I just wanted to ask you the question.
Yeah, okay. I get you.
Now, the final question.
Yes,
will
sir.
The Miners win, my alma mater?
What do you think?
They have a chance, yes.
They do. Well, they always have a chance. No matter what it is, everybody has a chance. I agree.
And Agustin, I can pick up the tequila, the bottle for Steve.
Yes. Yes.
Give me that
yes.
I can go,
hey, by the way,
modest. I'm not a chicken. I'll pick it up.
No. Hey, Luis, I got to tell you something hilarious. Luis, you'll like this story. I figured out a hack to get that bottle across the border. You want to hear what I told? Well, maybe I shouldn't say this on the air, because if somebody's listening and they're in the and they're over at the border and they're handling the office and something like this happens and they'll hear me say this, it might out me. So I'll tell you when you come by the radio station my advice for this. Okay, I'll give you a scoop. How's that?
Sure that I can deliver the bottle to you. I'm not as chicken as that. Get kid, Agustin. Okay, over and out.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Luis. 29 past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk. Hey, somebody here at the Shack wants a photo. Give him a headset. Let's find out who this gentleman is that wants to get a picture with us on the show and wants to come on the program. So, sir, please put those headphones on. There you go. And identify yourself. Who are you?
My name is Andy.
Andy, it's good to meet you. Thanks for coming by.
This is my niece and my beautiful wife, Michelle.
Hi, beautiful wife, Michelle. Hi, niece. What's your niece's name?
Christina.
Oh, my God. You had to think of that one for a second. That was good. Christina, good job on the pictures, by the way. Very nice. Andy, do you listen to us before? Have you listened to the show?
Yeah. I mean, because you guys are following my Miners.
Yes.
So I listened to you guys.
Did you go to school at UTEP?
Yes, sir. Graduated from UTEP.
Very nice. Are they going to win tomorrow against Louisiana Tech?
I'm praying.
Okay.
I'm praying.
We're all
Maybe
praying.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe
I still follow them. So I'm I'm praying that they do well.
Yep.
And get their shit together. Oh, ooh, can I say that? Okay.
Well, you know what? The good news is, hey, it's the good news is, A, it's 2025, and B, we've got somebody at the studio who probably caught that and made sure that didn't go on
okay,
the radio.
Okay, good deal. Sorry about that. Yeah.
That's okay. Yes, they need to get their stuff together. I totally agree with that. Yeah, that is exactly right. Hey, what's bigger for you, UTEP football or UTEP basketball?
UTEP football.
Okay.
Nice. Big basketball fan back in the day. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see that come back up too.
Excellent.
So, but yeah, UTEP right now. Football. Well,
hey, I'm just happy you stopped by for the photo. Thanks for coming on and joining us.
Appreciate
how'd you
it.
Like, how'd you like the food out here
the
at the Shack?
The food's great. We come here too much. So
good. You're wonderful. Regulars.
Very. Down the street. So it's beautiful spot, beautiful
well,
area.
Here's the good news. We're at this location every other week. So come back in 2 weeks and we'll say hi again and we'll see you.
And hopefully we'll touch base. Up on that.
That's exactly. Well, that'll be
appreciate
good.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Andy. We appreciate you. Andy checking us out here at the Shack. I love it. He's a UTEP diehard as we continue 31 pass. Let's go back to Sal and get ourselves this bottom of the hour Sports Center update. Listen, I got to tell you something, Sal, and no disrespect, but I only care about right now one game, and that's Mets and Marlins. Mets are up 2-0 in the second. Lindor went yard off of Alcantara, and I'm keeping an eye on two other games, Sal. I'm keeping an eye on Cincinnati-Milwaukee, which gets started in 40 minutes, and then obviously I'm also going to keep my eye on the Arizona Diamondbacks because they are also battling the Mets. And they're in San Diego this weekend. Because you think about it, these three teams are all playing for one spot right now. And as it stands today, the Mets have a one-game lead over Arizona and a one-game lead over the Reds. But the Reds own the tiebreak with the Mets. So if the Mets lose and the Reds win and they finish tied, well, then the Reds win the tiebreak. As simple as that.
It sounds like you're really nervous for the Mets in this situation
yes,
right here.
They're going to blow
but,
it.
But if you compare the two series, do you really feel like Milwaukee's going to be as we talked about this off-air, but as motivated to win in this series than the Mets will be to destroy a Marlins squad that their season was over a long time ago?
Let's put it this way, okay? I don't think the Mets are good enough to beat anybody on a regular basis, including the Marlins. And as far as Cincinnati and Milwaukee goes, I think nothing would make Pat Murphy happier than to knock a division rival out of the playoffs. Because let's just say, hypothetically, the Reds end up winning a couple games, and they end up having to play Milwaukee in a postseason round where the winner survives. Do you really want to see the Reds again in the playoffs? No, you don't. You want them out.
Yeah, you want to be away from that right there. I could see that. I wonder, though. I mean, the Mets, how good of a season they've had,
they haven't had a good season. They've been a disaster.
But they still had such high expectations.
They did.
They've still been a pretty good home team this year. So for them to miss out on the playoffs, if that were to happen, that'd be catastrophic. Almost.
Do you know, if you look at the Mets, okay, and you look at their season, right? Let me show you something here for a second, Adrian. This is since July 18th, all right? Now, look at all those W's, right? From the 20th of July to the 27th. All right, let's start looking at the Mets from July 28th down. Look at all those red L's and how few we see W's across the board and how it is mostly scattered with losses. Look at September. Look at what September turned into for the Mets and how they've struggled heading into this series. So that's the issue right now, and that's why the Mets are only 5 over .500 with potentially blowing this thing in the last weekend.
Yeah, they took it for granted. They took their July for granted, the way that they were playing over the summer for granted, mm-hmm. and did not close out the season strong. That's really disappointing right there because they have the talent, obviously, to even go to the World Series and win it. But to have this kind of output for the last part of the season, that's really disappointing right
now. You don't even realize it until you see it, right? And then you see it, like, oh my God, I didn't realize it was that bad.
That it spiraled out of control that way.
Yeah, it really has. 36 now past the hour as we continue here on Sports Talk 505-6009. By the way, I know that Luis was asking about Aaron Judge. Listen, this year, No offense, Aaron. You're having another great season, but Cal Raleigh has been doing something historic, especially at the catcher position. And since Judge has won the MVP in 22 and 24, I'm not going to feel bad if Cal Raleigh wins the MVP this time around.
It's got to be him. To do this as a switch hitter, to do this as a catcher, to have all the responsibilities that he does. And it wasn't like he peaked at any points this year. I even thought at the halfway point, it was like, wow, is it? Can he keep this up? Can he actually hold this through? Yeah. And he's done so all right here. And for Aaron Judge, I think this just adds to his legacy, right? Because for him to be in the conversation for almost the last handful of years, that's amazing right there. That just shows you what kind of caliber and generational type of player he's been.
Now, let me say this. Aaron Judge is hitting great. 330 is the best batting average in the American League. 51 home runs is fourth. 109 RBIs is tied for seventh. OPS of 1.14 is first. So that means he's leading the league in two categories, average and OPS, fourth in homers, seventh, tied for seventh in RBIs. So let's not take anything away from Aaron Judge, because those are MVP numbers, okay? So that's the first thing we need to bring up, is definitely having an MVP-like season, as we expect Aaron Judge, right now the best player in the game year in, year out. On the flip side, then you look at what Cal's done this year, and you talk about this. So, 247 batting average, below average, tied for 101st. But 60 home runs, that's first. 125 RBIs, that's second. And an OPS of 954 is fourth. He is a switch-hitting catcher. That's the difference. And you never see catchers that hit anywhere close to 60 home runs. Bench was the last one to hit 50 or more, and now you're starting to see what Cal's done. So I know the batting average is not nearly what Aaron Judge is. In fact, it's almost 80 points lower, but you still have to look at those power numbers and say, from a switch-hitting catcher in Seattle, that's pretty unbelievable.
Well, he's got the MVP as far as nickname goes, too. The Big Dumper, I love that. Love the T-shirts that have been going around, all the social media hype for it. The fact that they are the best team in the AL West right now and have surpassed the Astros, actually made the Astros rethink how good of a team their whole organization has been. I think that's really impressive stuff right there, and that tells you and speaks to the you know, prominence that the Seattle team has had. They're legit World Series contender, and a lot of it is thanks to their man, who could end up being an MVP when it's all said and done.
Dizzy gets into the show in Horizon and says on the app, since you all are talking baseball, what do the D-backs need to do next year to not be stuck competing for a wild card spot another year in a row? Well, listen, let me start by saying this, Dizzy. Competing for a wild card in a league that, in a division that features the Dodgers and the Padres with two enormous payrolls, is not a bad thing. I mean, I know you want to win that division championship, but you got to realize something right now. I mean, I'm looking at a roster that features, outside of Corbin Carroll and Ketel Marte, James McCann, Idomato Vargas, Blaze Alexander, Geraldo Perdomo, who's having a great year, Jake McCarthy, who I saw in El Paso a couple months ago, Alec Thomas, who I also saw in El Paso, and Gabriel Moreno. I mean, and the rotation right now features, in addition to Zach Gallen, who we know, Ryan Nelson, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Brandon Pfaadt. The fact that they're even this close to a wild card is unbelievable, because that roster is not a playoff roster. They've overperformed. They did it last year. They're doing it again this year. That roster needs so much more if you can expect them to compete for a championship and beat the Dodgers.
Think about all the players they traded at the deadline, too. I mean, think about the Merrill Kelly. Look, there's a lot of these. There's different trades here that they made at the trade deadline that were necessary, because at that point they weren't really going anywhere. So you could just justify that.
Yeah.
But they shopped around a lot of their guys. They made a lot of moves at the deadline, and that roster got significantly worse, thinking that they would be more of sellers and hope for the future.
Yep.
So if I'm a Diamondbacks fan, I'm also banking on that and hoping that things, you know, there's better days ahead when it comes to Diamondbacks baseball.
Could not agree more. But anyway, appreciate the phone, the question on the app, Dizzy, and thanks for listening to the show. Hey, we've got 18 minutes left to go in the hour. Foss is coming up at 6. We're live at the Shack with you on a Friday. We got Sal Montes back at our 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. Adrian's heading back for Football Friday Night to help the boys out in the studio this week. Pinch hitting for Bo Bagley. Appreciate that. We've got more coming up out here from the Shack, so stay with us. More in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Before we get back out here at the Shack Wings and Brews, want to let everybody know about our great friends over at Boomy Dental. Hey, they are a family dentistry out in East El Paso. Visit their spot at 1612 Lee Trevino or give them a call if this makes a lot of sense to you. And if you're looking to switch your dentist or if you're looking for a new dentist right now, this is the place to do it. Boomy Dental, $99 for exam and x-rays. Plus, you can get treatment and whitening for just $99. All you have to do is mention El Paso Roots. With in-house memberships, payment plans, and most insurances accepted, check them out, boomydental.com. That's BUMIdental.com, or give them a call, 915-591-2525. That's 915-591-2525 today.
We're hanging out right now at the Shack. We're on the patio over here at Slice and Brews, right next to the Shack Wings and Brews, and I'm looking at the menu. You know, we had that delicious calzone earlier, folks, and they've got about a dozen signature pizzas. We've tried most of them, like Papa Mike's. We've tried the Buffalo. We've tried the Bonnie and Clyde. We've also had the Mizza. We've had the New Mexico. So you mentioned some of the great ones. We've enjoyed those. But you know what? They've also got more besides their signature pizzas. They've got sandwiches like the Pancho Villa, which is salami, pepperoni, ham, tomatoes, provolone cheese, red onion, lettuce, black olives, an Italian deli spread. Or how about the Gosh, the good old smash hamburger, the Big Mac Philly. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Shaved ribeye grilled with veggies, smothered with house green chili mac. Unbelievable. They've got the Tennessee hot chicken, the meatball sub, sausage and shrimp, spaghetti and meatballs, as well as the green chili Alfredo, which I've had a couple of times. That is delicious. The menu just continues to deliver.
You know, and shout out to Sal Montes and Andy Inostrosa, who are back at a River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. I'll be bringing them a Philly and a Papa Mike's here
After
the show so they could feast on Football Friday Night. They worked so hard for us back at our studios, so wanted to treat them and the boys back with us here as we get started with some Football Friday Night in about, or less than 45 minutes from now, Steve.
I appreciate that. Don't forget also, we've got Minor Talk tomorrow after the game. By the way, tomorrow is the return of UTEP football on 600 ESPN El Paso. We're excited about that. In fact, every remaining game will be on 600 ESPN El Paso with John Teicher calling the action, Coach Aaron Price in the booth, and Mondo the Monster Medina on the sidelines.
You know, Steve, I'm ready for tomorrow. We'll be live at the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, ahead of the game itself. So if you want to win some tickets, you want to stop by for some prizes, we'll have them. Thanks to our great friends at Boomy Dental and at Thomas Adams Apparel, we'll have some of those new hats. And, yeah, we're excited to be out there. We'll be out there from about 2 p.m. to about 5 p.m. So come out and join us if you want to tailgate ahead of time. Join us out at the District Pub and Kitchen West, right by the campus, ahead of UTEP football.
So I'm not going to talk to you again until after the game tomorrow. So you tell me, what are your thoughts going in? Do you think if the Miners come ready to play, which we've seen at times, not all the time, in other words, if they play more like the UTEP in the second half last Saturday against the first half, can this team go out and score some points and play their kind of game against La Tech?
I'm gonna, they can have success from the defensive perspective, but I don't see them getting a win. That's the bottom line. They're not gonna come out victorious with a big dub. I just don't see that happening. And I see UTEP returning after this one at 1-4 overall going into their October games.
All right, Sal, what about you? Do you think the Miners can get it done? Can UTEP win tomorrow night when they get their opportunity?
You know what? It's kind of like they build you up
to tear you down things. But then on the other side, it's kind of like drop high, catch low. I think this is a catch low game, Steve. I think they're going to do it. Because, hear me out,
why is
La Tech only favored by 3.5 if they're supposed to be that much better than the UTEP Miners?
It's a good point. That's a good argument. Hey, you know, Benny Kaplowitz is in his UTEP pullover right now. You might have to get Benny on to get us his thoughts on the Miners, since he's probably got some money on the game tomorrow. So we'll look to do that later in the 6 o'clock hour. We've also got the Foss joining us in our 6 o'clock hour to chime in on the Cowboys and the Packers this weekend. Adrian, have a great show tonight for Football Friday Night, and we'll see you back tomorrow at the Sun Bowl.
See you at the Sun Bowl. Looking forward to it.
All right, everybody. One down, two down. We got 30 minutes to go. More Sports Talk Live from the Shack as we continue. It's Benny and Jackson's 14-year-old birthday party at the Shack. They've got it all to themselves. Them and about 200 other people that are joining them as well. We'll come back with more right here. 600 ESPN El Paso. Lyric about 95 times at the end of this song. Like, you almost wonder if, okay, so I'm old enough to remember using record players. And Sal, you probably have with your dad a record player growing up as a kid. Remember how sometimes songs would skip and you would hear the same part over and over and over again when it would skip?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember vinyls a little bit. My thing, though, was CDs, where if it was scratched, it was going to play the same thing again. And how crazy is it, though? How about this? The repeating is not... It hasn't changed at all, despite whatever platform you're listening to. Oh, well, you could stream it. Well, guess what? If your connection's bad, it might just repeat that part again if it's buffering. So, nah, man, it's going on.
Sprouts, shishito peppers, cheesy bread, half-off wine by the glass, and dollar-off all draft beer till 7 o'clock. The menu is unbelievable. Whether it's shareables, the signature pizzas, the BYOP, build-your-own pizza calzones, or the fork and handhelds like we talked about, they've got something for everybody out here at the Shack Slice and Brews. And, of course, right next door, the Shack Wings and Brews with so much wings to choose from, and they are delicious.
It is a lovely day.
Yes.
I just fond memories of being home a couple weeks ago. I want to come and figure out how I can get on a remote when you're there. I loved it with Adrian and AJ, and that was, you know, but I didn't have the full compliment. But I figured out, Cappy, when I went back, came back home for homecoming, I got some people that said they've got plenty of space, and I found there's a nonstop Austin to El Paso. Boom, boom.
Well, if you play your cards right, you come back here soon enough, you can hop on with us on a Friday at the Shack. That would be great.
Exactly. That's my
All right.
point.
Now, I want to talk to you about Sunday night. And I just got a message on the app as we're talking from AJ Gonzo. I'm going to read you what AJ Gonzo said. Cap, all in caps. On Sunday, I see a Lawrence Taylor versus Joe Theismann 2.0. When Parsons goes to Jerry World's Sunday night game, they are going to be ticked off they lost to the Browns. Parsons is going to look to break Dak. Parsons is going to kick their ass, says AJ Gonzo. You tell me, do you see it the same way?
I'm going to give him a different one. That one was so brutal. I could not watch it on Monday Night Football when that happened. I'm sure you can YouTube it. It's a gruesome injury.
Yes.
It is awful. I would have picked the hit that Joe Montana got when he was a Kansas City Chief and got knocked out of the I think that was a playoff game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a huge Chiefs
so
fan in that regard. I wouldn't put him on the gruesome scenario of the leg being compound fractured like that. But I think Micah is going to come from somewhere up the middle, off the edge, and there will be a Dak sighting by Micah for sure. You know, he didn't have Dak in his top quarterbacks when he was on the team. So you know, with Jordan Love and company, and Dak doesn't have a great record against the Pack, yeah, there could be issues Sunday night in Arlington.
Well, and that's the other interesting thing. I was talking about the Thursday night game last night with Arizona and Seattle, and then somebody brought up on the Amazon postgame show, they brought up the Giants and Russell Wilson getting benched for Jackson Dart, and immediately Richard Sherman started talking about, along with Tony Gonzalez, how Russell Wilson does not deserve to make the Hall of Fame because despite his first 10 years in Seattle, look what happened afterwards. And it was like Richard Sherman was a teammate of his and was trashing Russell Wilson, and we all know there's no love lost between those two. So I kind of wonder along the same lines what we're dealing with Micah and Dak.
I think they're a little better than that. But the end result is that the defender is not impressed with the quarterback. That is fact. So, but I think the relationship's a little bit better than the Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson. I met Russell. He's an acquired taste, for sure, from my opinion.
How do you describe him? Is he aloof?
So here's what happened. Dean Cain, the actor and my best friend, teammate from college, roommate, we went during Super Bowl week to the Wheels Up party, and I think you and Adrian went to the So we go, and Dean is introducing me to folks, and Russell comes up with Sierra. So Sierra is the songstress and, you know, popular. Mm-hmm. And she was born in Austin, Texas. So as we go, and Russell had come from the NFL Honors that evening, we're all there. Dean's talking the Wheels Up folks, Russell, Sierra, and myself. And I said, hello. I said, I know where you were born. I said, I live there now. And she goes, really? I said, yes, Austin, Texas. And she said, oh, that's cool. So she gave me a hug, just a greet hug. Well,
yes.
You'd think that I was trying to roll up on her, and Russell got salty, and then he was kind of standoffish to me because I was like, well, you know, I was like, ah. And then he was kind of like, yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, well. I mean, I'm not trying to take your girl. I just, I like to do the association thing. And so if you're talking big money and guys that are playing and Richard Sherman, he could look at Russell and be like, okay, yeah, you're the quarterback, but, you know, you either got short man complex or, and he's not really that short, but I don't know. He wasn't, you know, and I told Dean after that, you know, spun around, met Trevor Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence was cool as a fan, but he's taller.
Man, I wish Adrian was here right now with me. He's heading back to the studio to host Football Friday Night. He would have thought that was the greatest. That is the most false story I've ever heard in my entire life about how you recognize Sierra, you give her, she gives you a hug. Russell Wilson wants to kill you. I mean, that is fantastic. That sums it up in a nutshell. But true. Yeah, yeah.
Bodies, you know, significance and stuff. That's not me, man. He didn't know me. I didn't know him. But I understand, Richard Sherman. I understand.
Let's get back to this game on Sunday night. How do the Cowboys win this game?
I don't know. I do not. Because you can't, you know, I mean, if you can get Jay Will the running, you know, the running game going. I don't know if you can do it with the running game. Jake Ferguson with some solid tight end play,
yep,
and Pickens and Tolbert. I mean, that's what you have, and Turpin, and maybe, and you just would have to call a flawless offensive game, which is crazy because Mike is going to be disruptive, and he's made that Green Bay defense so much better, and because they believe, and a lot of it's between your ears, because they're all professional athletes.
Yep.
And then you're going to have to ask a defense to stop Josh Jacobs, a running game, and a a solid Jordan Love, who's beaten Dallas with Dak and CD. I mean, with Micah and CD and Dak. So I think Green Bay comes in with a lot of confidence, and they got a Micah Parsons. Who knows what he said or will say to his teammates and how they won't let him down.
That's right. The Foss, Steve Foster, joining us here on Sports Talk as we continue. Do you believe without CeeDee Lamb, is George Pickens able to elevate himself and become that top target that the Cowboys so desperately need?
No. CeeDee is CeeDee. George Pickens is George Pickens. Yeah, he may be faster than CeeDee, but CeeDee is a better wide receiver.
Okay. How big of a game does Josh Jacobs have against the Cowboys?
Man, it really depends how Green Bay wants to stick it to Dallas. If they don't want Dak on the field and they just want to have him, you know, stop and stare.
Yeah.
But I truly think Green Bay wants to run this score up. It goes back, and you probably know the story about when Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry were both coordinators for the New York Giants, and they had an issue. And I had the story told to me by the great Dave Robinson from Penn State, one of the first black linebackers in the NFL, about where there was a discrepancy to go for it on fourth down or to punt and play defense. Lombardi was the offensive coach and coordinator. Landry was the defensive coach. He convinces, I think it was Y.A. Tittle, to punt, and the defense doesn't hold, and they lose the game. And Lombardi never forgot that against Landry, and always, you know, the ice bowl all the way forward just tore the Cowboys up. You know they're telling that story. They're bringing, I think, Green Bay, as good as the people they were, and we were up there for the draft earlier this year, I think they come in a bit chippy.
Well, Green Bay -6.5. Sounds like you love the Packers in this one.
I have 2 shares of Packers stock. I'm not even going to hide it.
There you go. All right. Good stuff. Foss, it is always great having you on the show, and I hope you
Thank you.
Come back to El Paso and join us at the Shack here in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Shout out to my Eastwood Troopers that got it done against the Coro last night. And always a pleasure to see Coach Lopez and be back at McCray Boulevard representing the east side, and I know you hold down the west side, so we got everything covered in between. Our man Billy Davis in the northeast, the Urban Rockets, and it's so good to always connect back home. You know, I just love El Paso. I love, you know, I'm that's it. You know, it's the home.
Yeah.
I only have one home, Cappy, and y'all are there. So good to have been back, and yes, I'll look to get my nonstops each way. And have some fun. We have another Thursday night game, so that may allow me to do so.
Good. Looking forward to it. The great Steve Foster joining us. One half of Laying Down the Law with the often imitated, never duplicated Chris Fernandez. And they do that show out in Austin on ESPN San Antonio every Sunday morning early. I mean, it's like 6 to 8 in El Paso. So, yeah, it's an early show.
Happy. We will have confirmed the all-time leading rusher for the Green Bay Packers and fellow alum, Amon Green, 7:30 El Paso time.
Oh, I love
8:30 Central. SASportsStar.com, the great Amon Green.
Great promo, great plug. I love it. Foss, take care of yourself. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Y'all be good. Much love.
Steve. You too, Steve Foster, joining us here on the show. Before we go to break, folks, football season is in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action, and you can make your picks and win money right now in Texas. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. I'll pick the Detroit-Cleveland game in honor of Sal Montes and his Detroit Lions. All right, Sal, here we go. Jared Goff. 227.5 passing yards. Will Jared Goff go higher or lower than 227.5 against the Cleveland defense?
I think they'll go higher, but slightly higher. That defensive front for the Browns is going to be crazy. And who knows? It might be a lot of dump-offs to the running backs. So I think the running backs could get a decent chunk of it. Might not necessarily be downfield, but, you know, extra effort from the guys back there. Probably like 235 or something like that. But it moves the needle. It's right there.
I'm with you. I'm going to go higher than 227.5 also for Jared Goff, folks. So take that one to Underdog and get a chance to get that entry in. In fact, download the app today. Sign up with promo code KROD to score $100 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code KROD. Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Come back with our final countdown as Sports Talk wraps things up out here on the West Side from the Shack Slice and Brews.
All right.
Final countdown here on Sports Talk. I want to thank the Chacone family for coming out. And the in-laws are here. Steve, he's going to be moving from Missouri to El Paso. They're trying to convert him to a UTEP fan. God bless you, Steve. Good luck. I like your first name, by the way, Steve. There aren't too many Steves these days, so good to see you. Welcome to town and happy you're here. And that's what it's all about. Having some fun out here at the Shack Slice and Brews on the west side of town at Cimarron. Now, I mentioned earlier on that Benny and Jackson are celebrating their birthday here today. In fact, Benny Kaplowitz, who has been on the show before, is with us in our final countdown to give us his thoughts on the Miners tomorrow against Louisiana Tech. He also has a crowd of people watching his every move. So, Benny, tell me, are you more nervous now or when you're on the mound pitching a baseball game?
Yeah, definitely more nervous now.
I can tell.
This is an awesome birthday gift, though.
It's cool. It's great to have you here at the Shack. I love the fact you guys picked this place. That is great. Just goes to show you that anybody can have a birthday party or a gathering out here and enjoy themselves like you are. I love that. But I know you're dressed in your UTEP Adidas shirt, so you're focused. You're hyper-focused for tomorrow's UTEP game, aren't you?
I'm ready. I'm always 2 days prepared. I'm ready for the game tomorrow, and I think we got a good shot at winning.
You do. That was the question I was going to ask you, because the Miners are coming off a bad loss last week to Louisiana Monroe. You were there at the game. Now they get La Tech tomorrow night. You think they've got a good chance to win? What needs to happen for the Miners to get a dub?
Yeah, I think we have a good chance to win. Our defense has been good. Our offense needs a little bit of work, but I think Malachi's going to get it done.
Now you said the defense has been good. I agree, but the first half last week was a disaster. They couldn't stop the run. Monroe was pouring it on them. How does UTEP slow down a La Tech team that pretty easily beat up New Mexico State here a few weeks back?
Yeah, I think we got to use the momentum from last game. Down, 24? And we come back, we play good defense. We bring it all the way down to the two-minute warning and then lose it at the end. But got to bring that momentum back.
So the momentum needs to come. You feel like, what do you think? You think the Miners can win this game by a touchdown, or do you think it's going to be closer than that?
I think it's going to be closer than that. Let's call it last-second field goal for the win.
Okay. In the meantime, do you still have hope that the Miners can pull out enough wins to go bowling here before the season's over?
I do. I feel like the CUSA is not as strong as it has been in the past years. We got two Division One, but coming back from the FCS.
Yes.
So I think we got a good shot at winning those on the road. We just got to secure those hard home games like tomorrow and next Saturday.
What about the basketball schedule? Benny, I know you want to get in on that. What are your thoughts on the UTEP basketball schedule?
I'm disappointed. We only have about three Division One home games, but it's hard to get people here. We're isolated geographically, and really no one really wants to come down and play us because we're quad three.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose to us, it doesn't look good. If you win against us, also doesn't look the greatest.
So until this program improves and goes to a quad two, that it's going to be difficult is what you're telling us.
It's going to be hard. I mean, next year we're in the Mountain West. We should get better games.
Yeah.
We'll get Nevada, New Mexico at home. But until then, I don't see a chance where we're going to get a lot of good D1 home games.
Now, you and your brother, who's not here, Jackson is not on the radio right now. You are. You got a bunch of kids here with you today. Not even kids. They're all teenagers now because you guys are all teenagers. Tell me who's here.
Yes, we got Levi over here, plays on my baseball team. We got Adam here, who also plays on my baseball team. We got Ben, who goes to school with me. And we got Luis, who also goes to school with me.
Okay. I noticed you didn't mention somebody who's staring you right in the face with a headset on.
Yeah, and Joel, who's my cousin. And yeah.
And who else is, who's sitting down there that's with your brother that's not here right now?
We got Kai and Birdie, who are my two best friends, and then my mom and my dad.
Excellent.
Taking me here.
After tonight, dinner here, you're going to go see a movie.
Yep.
What's the movie you're going
to
see?
We're going to go see Him. It's a football movie. And I'm really excited to go see it.
I heard Him as a disturbing horror movie. You described Him as a football movie. This is not Remember the Titans we're talking about here. This is a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little different. I guess it's a horror football movie. But I'm excited. I like horror movies.
Adrian has a question for you, okay?
Oh, no.
Sal, is Adrian mic'd back at the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios? Adrian, go ahead. You're on with Benny.
All right, Benny Buckets. Need to ask you, what do you think about the new UTEP football uniforms they're rocking tomorrow?
Oh, I love them. I love the blue and the white and the orange. It looks great for us. I think that'll give us an extra confidence boost for the win tomorrow.
So you really believe the jerseys will help UTEP win a football game?
I do. A little bit of luck.
Yeah, one of your buddies right here behind you is laughing at that. He just heard that. Kai thinks that's the funniest thing he's ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a big UTEP fan, so he doesn't know the superstitions, but I think we got a good shot tomorrow.
Okay. Where is Jackson? Give Jackson that other headset. I want to put Jackson on to say a few words before the show is over. We got about a minute and a half left to go. Jackson, the other Kaplowitz who never comes on the radio and, quite frankly, doesn't even attend UTEP games. Are you going to be there tomorrow?
Yes, I am going to be there. You're very excited.
You're actually showing up to a UTEP game?
Yeah, I am.
This is big news, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Hey, happy birthday to you.
We
had your brother on. Your brother thinks UTEP's going to win tomorrow. Do you think UTEP's going to win?
I do. I think we're going to win by a lot. I'm very confident.
Excellent. Will you come back and join me next time to talk baseball card collecting, since that is your hobby when you're not here at the Shack?
Sure, I'll do it anytime.
Excellent. And the movie you're going to see tonight, Him, how do you describe this? What is this movie about? Because Betty called it a football movie.
Yeah, I guess it is. He's kind of right. It's a football movie. I think it's like a scary movie, I heard he didn't get good reviews, though, so.
Oh, that means it's going to be great, right?
Yeah.
Reviews don't mean anything. You want to see it. All right, get back to dinner. Have a good time, and thanks for coming on the show.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it, Jackson. Benny, anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
If there's one thing I got to say, I hope the fans can come out tomorrow. Hope we can get a good crowd and get that UTEP win.
There you go. Benny is so excited. He is so ready to go with UTEP. We're ready to go with Football Friday Night. It's coming up next right here, 600 ESPN El Paso.